commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a call-in question or remark for our guest, we're at 907-458-8255. That's 907-458-TALK. And this morning's guest, it's a Monday, it's a holiday. But this isn't about business. This is about politics. I have Tammy Wilson. How you doing, Assembly Member Wilson?
Good. How about you?
Doing well. Doing well. So thank you for coming in on your day off, supposedly.
Supposedly. But you know how your phone continues to work, and so does the computer. So we work 24/7.
You sound like a real estate brokerage firm. You're 24/7, 365.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, when people need you, you just have to respond and help them out any way you can.
Your assembly's been in the news a lot lately. Well, excuse me, the borough has been in the news a lot lately.
Well, they say we've been a little controversial.
Yeah.
That's being nice. I think we've been a lot controversial.
Yes. Well,
our last three meetings have gone till midnight. So our first meeting back in December was a Thursday, Friday, both going late. And that was all one meeting. That's a little insane.
You know, no good government happens after 10:30 because everyone's tired. No good government. Now think about that. What happens after 10:30 at night, in the evening, will not turn out good.
And we're just like curious when we call people at 11:30 because they wanted to testify.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had one in December, and I'm pretty sure he was asleep, you know, because his testimony really didn't make a lot of sense. And he probably thought it was a dream and woke up and thought, did they really call? And we're like, yeah, we call all the way up until the meeting's over, because Thursday night, you know, we had to close public testimony because we had to start the meeting. And so we extended the time because we still had people in the audience and they had every right to be able to say their piece. But we allow people to call in, or what we call them back. They can call and be done, and realize people, we call you up till sometimes 1 a.m. So careful what you ask for.
You know, it was interesting for me. I'm a real estate broker. I'm a big public rights, private property rights activists. What were you guys doing Thursday night?
So it was really, so Thursday night really got blown way out of proportion. So we have this new trails plan. However, what the ordinance that was before us that Jimmy had put out to start with,
Assemblymember Jimmy Cash,
has been there since the 1980s. So this is, it just got brought back up because of...
Since the 80s.
Yeah, since the 80s. And what it basically says is, if the borough has drawn a line across your private property, and you may not even know anything about it, and all of a sudden you get ready to subdivide, and it could be you're subdividing for your kids, or you're subdividing because you want to, you know, sell it differently. But once you decide to subdivide and you go to the Planning Commission, which you're required to do, it then becomes a permanent easement. It's as if you dedicated and signed on the bottom line.
Hold it now. Let's stop.
Okay.
So is there any recompense for that permanent easement?
So, depending upon who was at the borough at the time, you can ask for it to be rerouted. Now, that may be rerouted still on your property, or it may be rerouted on somebody else's property who might not be very happy.
They're doing a condemnation on your property.
Yes. Ultimately, yes. It's out of your hands as soon as you subdivide.
They're doing a condemnation on your property.
Yes.
There has, for them to do a condemnation, they have to give the fair market value for whatever they're taking to the property owner.
You would think.
Was that recognized in your debate, discussion, or any type of aspect of this ordinance.
Our attorney and our borough mayor believes that through the planning process, they can just take it.
Oh, God.
And that's what they're doing. And not just that, you know, we're having this debate, and then the mayor decides to announce in it that he's going to veto it no matter what. And you don't have, and it takes six people to overturn it, knowing that we don't have six. Well, obviously, we didn't have five either.
So the presiding officer, Randall Juski, he caved.
He caved. And afterwards, he's like, the mayor and I are going to fix it. And I'm like, fix what? We already were going to fix it. Because it seems that this administration believes that to fix it means going through a borough process. Well, you don't. When did it stop being your property?
Yeah.
You know, you've been paying for it all these years.
No, you know, I looked at this and I said, okay, they had 20 people come out to testify against this thing.
Yes.
Well, as soon as you have this happen to your property, the lights come on. Most people do not realize that this is there.
Nope.
Don't realize what it means. Do not realize that the borough has self-determination at their circumspect over your property.
And we asked. We're like, okay, so I'm a property.
And the catch is when you come in to subdivide, we gotcha.
Yeah, because we asked, so if I'm a property owner, where would I look? Would it be on my deed when somebody sells it?
No, and it's on their map.
It's on a map in a plan. And now, if that's not bad enough, we have a road plan coming out, and we have no road powers to do the same thing.
So Fairbanks, you have to understand, when you're buying a piece of property, you are getting a preliminary title commitment.
Yes.
And the preliminary title commitment has a survey. It does not have any trails map, potential trails map, from the Fairbanks North Star Borough on it to show you. So if you sell your property to someone and it's later determined that you did not inform them, you did not disclose, you're supposed to know.
You're supposed to know.
That's called a statute of fraud. It's in writing.
And they think it's okay. They absolutely think it's okay. So I've gone to my legislators, and I'm like, you need to explain this to me. Can they legally do basically eminent domain for a trail through the platting process? Not the court process, the platting process. And so, we're waiting for the answer.
Good. Man.
Well, we need to find out if it's a legal problem, right? Do we need to take it to court? Because, right, everything's legal until it's not.
Yeah.
Or legislatively, is
until it's
it
fixed.
An interpretation?
Yeah. Or until statute says it can or cannot in the state of Alaska.
Because to me, platting was put there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to make sure that we're giving everybody legal access.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make a subdivision, you're not going to sell a back lot, right? And there's no legal way to be able to get to it, not to add all this other in it.
Title 17 has specific items in it. This is not a specific item in Title 17.
You mean eminent domain is not something the boroughs should be doing?
No.
They're not even supposed to be doing trails either or roads, but that has not yet stopped them.
So we're having roads coming up next, you said.
All the plans already being put out there. There'll be a meeting Saturday. Go on the website, and it'll be up at the Ken Kunkel Center, so you better look at
it. Do you have to drive out to Goldstream to get to this roads meeting?
You do.
Why did they choose that area?
They didn't ask me.
You have the Juanita Helms Center there with a very big conference room.
And that's kind of like in the middle of the borough?
In the very heart of the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
I found that very strange, too, when I found out about that meeting. And it's the same thing. It's like, one of the things I've gotten calls from this week is that they're going to try to put a road between North Pole and Two Rivers. Okay, so somebody who has no road powers, what are they doing drawing lanes across people's property again? Well, it's mostly the state, they'll say. Well, the state is still private property, too. It doesn't belong to the borough.
Then let the state do it. Let the state expend the funds for it.
Exactly.
It's going to be a state road. Let them do it. Why are you getting involved in this borough?
Oh, because they got a grant from the federal government because of the military. And I'm pretty sure.
What do you mean because of the military?
Yep. All the F-35s. You got all. That's why you have the Badger Salsha plan. That's why you have the trails plan. Now you have a roads plan. All with your free money you donated when you paid your taxes. I'm sure you knew that.
I'm learning about it now. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458 Talk. 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
See your world in perfect focus. Keep your eyes in perfect health. Visit optometrist Dr. Rebecca Wilbur for comprehensive family vision care, children's eye care, and emphasis on medical eye disease. An Alaskan native, Rebecca speaks fluent Yupik with a heartfelt desire to serve the Native community. Schedule your appointment. Call the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians providing medical and surgical eye care, prescription lenses, fashion eyewear, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
If these cold drafts are making you think about replacing your windows and patio doors, I'm Chris Dunn, the local owner of Renewal by Anderson, and I have some great news. We've postponed our 2023 price increase until January 31st. So this is your last chance to pay 2022 window and patio door prices. Before January 31st, save 20% on every window and patio door, and with our Smart Pay programs, no interest, no payments, no money down for 12 months. Our list prices on windows and patio doors will literally never be as low as they are right now. So call to get 2022 prices and save 20% on every window and patio door. Plus, you won't pay anything for 12 months. Call before January 31st and you'll still get Renewal by Anderson's 2022 prices. Call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 5 above. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 2 below. Tonight, partly cloudy. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High of 3 above. Cloudy Wednesday with a high of 2 below, 7 above Thursday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Assembly Member Tammy Wilson.
I just represent you on the Assembly instead.
Yes, you do. You ready for a phone call or two?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assembly Member Tammy Wilson, and your name is?
Ginger McKee.
Hello, Ginger McKee. How are you doing? You're of Two Rivers fame. Yes.
I am.
What, four generations out there now?
Something like that. Yes, one, two, three, four.
Not that I'm a stalker, but I know my wonderful history, and you have a wonderful family.
Thank you so much. Of course, it's not really a question, more a comment about the borough's encroachment into private properties and the taxes levied upon us. This fire service, proposed fire service area out there, not allowing property owners who don't live on their property to vote for or against this, and not having a price tag for people to make an educated decision. Do we really want this? And the way it was presented was you buy this and then we'll tell you what the price is later. And
so there's no pre-fronted cost that was told to you of what this budget would be
whatsoever.
And then with how many residents you have out there, what the mill rate would be on each individual piece of property to pay for this?
Not a clue.
And also, you're in an area that has a high propensity to be owned by the Department of Natural Resources, the borough, state of Alaska, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. So you're taking an area and you're constricting the payers to it.
Yep. I have another year, and I'll age out. I get my $150,000.
$165,000 tax exemption.
Yes. And what that does is puts that tax burden on my neighbor who is only 30 years old.
Correct.
So you're constricting it even more to less people.
Yes. And we don't have a dollar figure. On the last borough assembly meeting, Mayor Ward, well, actually it was the attorney, said that the there is a mill rate cap of 30.
30 mills?
Yeah, 30 mills. We about fell off our chairs.
There was an entire, I mean, even the people that wanted this fire service area gasped.
Wow.
We already, most people right there in and around the Two Rivers area pay just over 14, I believe it's 14.64 or could be 4.6. Anyway, so now we're going to add somewhere between, the mayor initially wanted somewhere between 6 and 10 mills additional.
So, okay, let's go back a little bit. You know, you have the 17-year-old arsonist burn down 11 properties.
Correct.
For a year, you're all literally not wanting to leave your house, go to sleep, very emotional turmoil. And then this happens, and they have a vote that it sounds like, you know, I didn't follow it exactly, but it sounds like the notification for the voting was not quite correct.
Well, there was a couple, you know, where they posted it, but one of the big problems was in a front page article, they got the date wrong. And there were people who, and that's who we post everything with, is the news miner. And so there were people who missed the vote. What's really bad, the ordinance that she's talking about that allows the fire service, they literally have the vote first, then they appoint a commission, and then they do the budget. A little backwards because, you know, you're talking up to 30 mills. That's up to about, I think that comes out, what, $3,000 per $100,000 of assessed value?
You'd have thought they would have done it the opposite way.
But that is not how the ordinance has it.
Oh, boy, Ginger.
There's so many things, misleading information about the vote. Anyway, it's just like I said, it's all backwards. There is no price. It's just buy this and let's get it over. Let's sign it before we read it.
Sounds like Nancy Pelosi.
Well, and the other misconception was, Ginger, wasn't it, that people thought that this would bring them ambulance service, sadly enough, you already have. It just doesn't sit in Two Rivers.
Right. We have had EMS service from CEES, Area Volunteer Fire Department, for decades that we have been paying for it. Yes, you have to wait until they get there.
But you make a choice in that with a rural lifestyle anyway.
Absolutely.
You've made that choice. I live in the heart of downtown Fairbanks. I made that choice.
Yeah. And as far as the arsonist goes, okay, we had him 3 months. Okay. He was arrested on August 27th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, a lot of the fear left the area. We're still not convinced that he didn't have a little bit of help, but nothing has ever been said or done about that. He will be sentenced next week. But the nonprofit group that was organized, they preyed on people's fear. Like somehow, if they vote for this, we'll never see another arsonist. We'll never see another lightning strike fire that we'll never see.
All will be good in the world in Two Rivers.
Yes, all's going to be wonderful and happy and warm and fuzzy. And it simply will not happen because from May of this year, May of 22, there's a whole list of them. I have them at my house, of structure fires, automobile accidents, medical emergencies. And there is a person in our community who calls personally all of these people, and they don't respond as private citizens. We weren't asking them to respond in any professional capacity. Just bring a bucket or a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
And they don't respond.
And what she's talking about, so the next step is once they get the commission together, is they make the budget, but then they also will have to contract out with someone.
Staff it.
Right. And the contract, we did learn that my understanding is that Steve's has said that they would hire out, depending upon how much that would be, but they currently have no building. They have no fire engines at this point. They don't have anybody hired out.
You know what a fire engine costs?
Well, they have one donated from Nanana, and they think that will be enough. But my understanding it is a very old fire engine.
They
maintenance time
they have are between 20 and 34 years old.
Oh, boy. This is a train wreck that's happening before our eyes.
Well, and they'll start being charged for this at this next. So when they pay in October, if it continues, they'll get paid. They'll be paying for it.
Now, this is what happens to real estate values. They're decimated. You don't look at the value. You look at what does it cost me to live at this house? What does it cost me to live in this area? And all of a sudden, you're adding another 5 or 10 mils to say a value of $200,000 or a piece of vacant land of $30,000.
And if you've ever been out there, spent any time out there, trying to get up or down a lot of the roads that are up and down the Hot Springs Road, they are never going to be able to get this equipment up or down there. So then the borough is going to go, oh, we have to start a road service area, fix this road.
See, road plan. We told you it was coming. And it's 17 miles, right, Ginger? The 17 square mile area.
Yes. And it's we can't afford this. Because we can't afford the road service tax on top of the fire service area tax on top of what we already pay.
What group was behind this initiative?
They are a nonprofit organization. They've named themselves the Pleasant Valley Two Rivers Volunteer Fire Department. Their president is Michelle Ethan, and vice president is Amanda Smith, and that honestly is all I know. They have about 15 volunteers, or could be 17.
Well, boy.
So the only other options they have at this point with what the borough has done is there is an ordinance coming forward to basically abolish the fire service area, have a revote.
Mm-hmm.
The other option they have is to go out by petition, which then you'll find out how many people live out of state that own property in Alaska. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're talking about banks, investment corporations. Then you've got like all the state things that own it too. You know, which means a lot of these entities will pay zero in taxes.
It condenses the pool. Payers.
And that's what makes it, you know, from 0 to 30 mils is because you have that leftover value that whatever they come up with the amount for the budget this commission does gets divided by those taxpayers.
Yeah, that's it.
It is a math problem.
it's bad math. Bad math.
Sadly, it could be very bad math.
Okay, Ginger, anything else to say? And thank you for the phone call. And were you out at the event that I put on with the Alaska Barbecue Association?
Yes, sir, we were.
That was such a neat event. Just the people of Two Rivers and Pleasant Valley, the hugs, the conversations that finally could happen. You know, COVID, an arsonist, and we were at the deck of Two Rivers that was still there, and I had this little band come out with two 18-year-olds, one played guitar, one played the bass, and the first song he did was Jimi Hendrix, Star-Spangled Banner. And everyone stopped, turned around, hats off, hands over the hearts. You know, it was great.
And Two Rivers Lodge, they have rebuilt. They're not open yet, but just like everybody else out there, you know, James Segalian, I think, set out to destroy Two Rivers, and he failed at that miserably. The borough might win, but...
They're not going to win. We're going to make sure that didn't happen. One way or another.
Thank you so
Ginger,
much.
You have a great day. Thank you for the phone call. It's good talking to you. Bye. You know, that is like a person who's heart and soul of that area.
Well, absolutely. Because one thing she didn't share is that they rebuilt after the fire, rebuilt a much smaller place, and the borough didn't miss that either. I think they are going to now pay...
More than about
three times what they paid before for a lot less square footage. And you know what we were told? Well, that's just what happens when you build new because we really don't care why you got burned down. I'm like, are you serious? But, you know, nobody wants to get involved on the borough level because it doesn't seem as much entertainment, I guess, and they want to be on the federal level or the state. But this is the group that's going to hit you the most and impact you the most at a time where you just don't expect it.
Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a break here. I'm going to leave you with some Madonna Holiday 65 bumper music. I have no idea what that is. But if you don't like it, Rock Candy, Melissa Burnett. She's one who chooses us. We found that out last week. Then we're going to go with some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back in a bit.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Amid more classified documents found at President Biden's Delaware home, the White House Counsel's Office says there are no records of who visited that residence.
While the Biden administration did return the log of visitors to the White House upon taking office, a practice which was discontinued during the Trump administration, it appears the president kept his personal residence personal. This comes as the House Oversight Committee has asked for records of those who visited the Delaware home in order to see who may have had access to classified records.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in Washington. 68 bodies have been recovered from the site of a Yeti Airlines crash that carried 72 people in Nepal.
It's Nepal's worst air disaster in 30 years. The cockpit voice recorder and flight data recorder have been recovered and will now be turned over to investigators.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that for the first time in its 28th season history, Antiques Roadshow will be visiting Alaska as part of its 2023 tour, set to film in the last frontier for one leg of a five-stop summer stretch. Known for being part adventure, part history lesson, and part treasure hunt, Antiques Roadshow is the most-watched series on PBS, according to the Roadshow's website. The hour-long episodes feature leading appraisers' reviews of antiques and collectibles from all corners of the country. Each city, including Anchorage, will have three dedicated episodes of Antiques Roadshow airing in 2024. We are turning ourselves upside down here, Antiques Roadshow executive producer Marsha Bemko said, because we are so excited to be able to go to Anchorage. Every city we go to, we really plan it out. We want to get all over the country, and we want to spread ourselves out in every tour, so in all regions of the country. The agreed-upon filming location is still under wraps, but producers say historic venues will be revealed closer to event dates. For more details, go to the show's website.
Online at KFAR660.com. Hey Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage 1 alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at FNSBairAlert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Oh, we love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto. Off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on?
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back into the studio. We have Assemblymember Tammy Wilson, quite knowledgeable on all aspects at both government, state, and borough.
Hey, you know, a well-rounded person, what can I say?
The borough recently got a building permit for $231,000 to build your new transportation center.
Yes, they did, to put in gas-powered buses.
Good. No electric buses.
No, not yet.
Gas, you know? Gasoline or natural gas?
Natural gas.
Okay.
So, again, that federal grant, you know, that free money that comes along that's not so free.
No.
You know, is coming in. Hopefully, you know, it will work out as well as they think. I mean, still, I mean, I appreciate that they, you know, that the bus doesn't cost the borough, you know, itself taxes that much. But
what, building.
It really, yeah, but what it really does, though, is that it tries to be everything to everyone. And in my opinion, it does a really poor job. I mean, to start with, like you just talked about, you choose where to live based on how you can get around, right? And so yeah. A lot of people live in the city because they don't have, like, a vehicle. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever looked at the bus schedule or tried to take the bus schedule, it's my understanding many years ago the bus went, like, one direction, the other one went the other one. So about every 15 minutes it would get to, like, your major stop so that you didn't have to wait for an hour or 2 hours for the bus. It doesn't do that anymore. And, I mean, I work a lot with parents who have to do a lot of things for the Office of Children's Services to be reunified with their children. And if they don't have transportation, the bus is their only transportation. And I've had one where they've had like an hour therapy they have to go through in town and could take them up to 2.5 to 3 hours to get there. And the same thing to get back. And that is just crazy. So it just seems to me, you know, this fast planning that they all talk about great things happening. Why not look and make, you know, that part really good? Mm-hmm. So that if you bring people in from North Pole or some of the outskirt areas, that once they get here, they can get around easily and want to use it. Because it just, like, drives me crazy when you look at the buses and find them mostly empty.
When Sears went out of business and they put their property up for sale or whatever it was, or in foreclosure, Chapter 11, closing it down, I texted Mayor Ward, the borough should buy that building.
Is it really located?
Yeah. Because you're looking at a new building for your dog kennel or your animal shelter and other things. And I thought, this is about a, you know, a 60,000 square foot building that can be used for many items.
Besides storage.
Or you know, things for U-Hauls.
Yes. So now they want to build a new animal building for about $17 million. I'm sure it's more than that now because that was over a year ago. And so one of the resolutions that was before is that we didn't get to Thursday night was buying, I believe it was about 4.5 acres for like $450,000.
Where at?
I think I'm not exactly sure. Somewhere within Fairbanks, but we own property now out on Brock Road that they were going to put a school on a few years ago, and it was mm-hmm. an air quality issue. Well, the borough owns that money, and if you could put a school on, couldn't you put like an animal building on there too for no cost to land?
There you go.
Just seems like it.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assemblymember Tammy Wilson, and your name is?
Yeah. Hey, this is Al.
Hello, Al.
So I'm curious on how we get to the point where private property owners have potentially eminent domain, you know, posed on them.
That's not potentially.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yet, conveniently enough and contradictory that, you know, state and municipalities exempt themselves from having eminent domain.
You know, have you ever looked at the Bill of Rights?
You know, it was...
It's right there in the Bill of Rights.
...learning how to read.
Because, yeah.
What I read and what is going on rarely fits.
Yeah.
But what's really sad is, I mean, we got like over 150 emails, like I said, over 17 people testified, and they were beside themselves to think of how we would be destroying trails as they're known just by protecting private property that the trails currently do not go over. And if you are going on them, you are trespassing. We weren't talking about dedicated trails or RS-2477 or state lands. We're talking private property.
Exactly.
And we got
existing trail.
Right. And we got like 7 emails saying, yes, go, private property rights. We believe in them. 7. I mean, and so, you know, it's still easy to argue because it's a right that we all, you know, should be able to have. But, you know, it really gave the other side the ammunition to say, well, where are your people if they really want their private property rights? Maybe everybody in the borough wants to be able to traverse on everybody's piece of property whenever they want to.
That's what they would like.
What you should do is look up where these people live. And say, here you go. What are you dedicating? You've spoken on behalf of it. This is your letter. What are you giving us? If you're going to be taking people's, you got to give up some of yourself.
Well, one of the testifiers was great. He's like, we should go out and survey and we should buy it, just like you just said, yeah. and make it dedicated. And I'm like, and that was my whole thing. Why can't you be proactive mm-hmm. versus right now do it? And, you know, you're sitting there. And I'll tell you right now, you know, last year when we were always 4-5, 4-5, You went in with your best argument, you know, and you fought a good fight, right? And if you lost, you're like, well, we were 4-5, right, going in. But Thursday night, I mean, we were 5-4. I mean, we all believe in private property rights. And when Assemblymember Lujewski, you know, all of a sudden turns around to the clerk, literally, and says, what's the vote? And she goes 4-4, and then he gives it to the other side and then says, well, the mayor was going to veto it anyway. Well, yes,
make
he announced
him veto it.
Make him do it. You know, because, again, I'm sure that the mayor thought he would at that time. Whether he would have is anybody's guess. But how you could just sell us.
Stamping a veto against private property rights.
Exactly.
Wow.
The other irony of this whole exercise was, is, you know, these are people that use trails. They're hikers and skiers and snowshoers and stuff. You know, probably our top percentage of our healthy people, yet they don't go out and build their own trails.
Well, and on top of this, what this does is that now there's a road plan coming out, you know, that's been written, been worked on the last 2 years, and has exactly the same thing in it.
Yeah.
And we just, by not voting this part down, pretty much said, well, go forth and do it to everybody. And if I buy a stove, a wood stove, right, and I take money from the borough, it goes on my deed, right?
And yes,
says I can never put another wood stove in.
And you've agreed to it.
Yeah.
You've agreed to it.
But here, you know, you've got this line going across your property that you don't know unless you read all these plans to see if you are on it. That just doesn't even make any logical sense, you know. But we have an administration right now that believes the borough should be the last person to make those decisions. But we have to show up, too.
There you go. Al, thank you for the phone call, sir.
Bye.
Because that's it. We have to show up, you know, whether it's voting or whether it's, you know, assembly members.
You mean
meetings?
The moral majority must show up.
They must show up and they must vote. We are the majority in the borough, but we don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
They show up. And, you know, when you see it going that direction, but you have to ask those questions too. We have an election coming up in October because every, you know, year, 3 assembly members come up. And because you say you're conservative, you're going to have to start asking those questions of, well, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're talking about this or state or federal, you have to get involved or else you'll get ran over.
Ready for a phone call?
Let's do it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, damn it. I didn't know you're an anti-government zealot.
Who, me or Tammy?
Oh, Tammy. I'm just going by what Sean McGuire wrote last Thursday about the trails.
And what did he write?
I just a little bit of it. It's something, I was just read it earlier, just a few minutes ago. Also, on the world where the new conservative majority in the borough assembly led by anti-government zealot Tammy Wilson be tempted to undo the sanctity of our beloved trails. This is a red light crossing. Our unique and beloved trail system is under threat.
And that's how they threaten people. They made it sound like every trail would have been disbanded when this is trails that currently don't exist and only will become a trail if you subdivide your property. But as far as government, though, I don't think they're your friends. So I guess I'll have to say yes, that's true.
Yeah, this is Sean McGuire. So he's one of these guys that wants government to solve all the problems. And I don't agree with him at all. But I just thought I'd call and kind of make of a joke.
that was a good one.
It was a secret that I thought, you know, nobody knew.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, you very Bob. Much. You have a great day, Bob.
Sean McGuire, shame on him, you know?
I don't know him, so.
But just, he's just a reporter, you know, but.
He's a reporter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for like, I think it was ABC, I don't remember who, but yeah, he was down in Juneau and stuff like that. But no, I don't think government should be the one solving your problems. I mean, the community does.
Well, yeah, you know, government has things that they can do, but this is an overstep.
So let's talk about the platting. Okay, the platting committee itself, commission, mm-hmm. is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sure that if you subdivide, that all those parcels have legal access.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Road, you have a standard road. Everyone knows what it is. Yep.
Yep, and everybody's going in with the same thing. So that's not what's bad. But I don't think it was ever meant to be something like trails or other roads that have that are outside of somebody subdividing to take eminent domain, because we don't have that. The city does. The city could do eminent domain, but you have a process that you have to go through.
It has to be for the public good.
Well, it has to be the public good.
Yeah.
The courts have to determine, too, if they want to go that far, that you really do have a legal right.
And it has to be something that's verifiable. It can't be, well, we might put a trail here.
It has to be that you are putting a trail for a certain reason.
Exactly.
And you actually can do that. DOT, I remember the year we found out, could do that for trails and bike paths and sidewalks and things like that. There's a way to do eminent domain for it. I don't think they've ever used it before, but, you know, what that ultimate goal. But it's a process that you're going through, and you can appeal to me, you know, to be able to do that. It's not an automatic. And for the borough to go, well, we'll work with you. Well, good for you.
Yeah, but that's, well, no, excuse me. I'm not working with you.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, then we'll
take
it.
Yeah,
I'm
not working. No, you're not.
You know,
first of all, you know, you're going against one of our most sovereign thoughts.
Absolutely. And they're okay with that. And obviously, it seems like people are too, because literally we're like sinking there. We're like, where are you? Not one testimony. And you don't even have to leave your house. In case you don't know, you can still call into the clerk by like 4 o'clock and say you want to be called to testify.
Yeah.
So you can do that from your lounge chair or washing your dishes or whatever you're doing. Be involved.
Mute the football game, whatever it is.
Just for that 3 minutes that you get.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 5 above today under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the north around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 2 below. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 3 above. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Assemblymember Tammy Wilson. So let's recap. The fire service fiasco, basically. They published a wrong voting date.
Correct.
They did not have any costs to give anyone.
Nope.
Prior to the vote.
And there was a misconception on ambulance service on whether or not this vote was to get an ambulance, you know, and that is a contract with the borough. The borough could place one out there now if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And really they should, because why should those who live in the outskirts get less service than those who don't? Because that's an area-wide service, and they pay as much as I do, as much as you do, to be able to have. Now, I think your ambulance is probably done by the city.
Yes, it is.
But whether, you know, mine is 2 miles away or 30 miles away, we pay the same amount of money. So that's something they should be asking that question right now outside of the service area. This is for fire only, 17 square miles, which is a lot of property. And, you know, back to, you know, can whatever engines that they use, whether they contract that out with North Star or Steez or this nonprofit, you know, North Star a few years ago had to buy a smaller fire engine because a lot of the roads when they annexed, you know, forcibly did that. That was just awesome. Found out that their regular engines, you know, couldn't get up into those areas. So, you know, it's not like one size fits all. So their choice at this point is to try to petition out or have the assembly pass an ordinance that would allow for another vote to happen again. But I encourage whichever direction they go, can do the numbers.
Why are people afraid of another vote? Might change the outcome. People might be better educated on the consequences of the vote.
Well, I kind of understand where they're coming from. Everybody had an opportunity to try to get the right information out there. And, you know, I think it was kind of interesting. Somebody came out and testified, well, we never thought it would pass, so we didn't do anything. Well, that might not have been the best concept to have gone by it, you know. I think the ordinance needs to be, you know, the code needs to be rewritten because that is crazy that you don't find out the cost of anything until after you vote. And then if you find out it's not affordable, then you got to go through trying to undo what you just did. So, you know, part of that is the borough process just doesn't work. One thing I do want to hit before we go, though, there's air quality, you know, the state implementation plan, say the least. I know, hard to believe that the EPA didn't like our plan. The governor, from my understanding, is pushing back on it. We have a great DEC commissioner. He will be here. Jason Brune, great guy. He will be here tomorrow at 8 a.m. at Fairbanks Economic Development. They are located, I don't know the actual address, but
it's on Wendell Street in a building my dad built in 1964.
Which would be close to the Midnight Mine you know, between it and the Visitor Center. Yeah. So
It's at the north end of the building, and it's owned by Ted Hoppner and his wife, Gina. And
it's at 8 a.m.
As you take the bend going on from Noble Street to the right on Wendell Street.
Yep.
It's the first building on the left.
Yes.
Two-story.
And if you get to the Visitor Center, you went too far.
Yes.
You know, but it's an open meeting.
If you get to the Midnight Mine, you've gone too far.
Oh, I'm on the wrong side. Yeah. So basically it's
same
at 8 a.m.
Same side, just, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be worth, you know, hearing what they're trying to do to be able to do it. We just got more money from the federal government to be able to do more change outs. I mean, the bad part is that if you choose to be part of the program, it does go in your deed saying you won't put any others on. They are trying to work with the EPA on, well, what if there's a more efficient one? Don't you want them to trade out because it's more efficient? You know, versus keep the old one that's not, which has been our problem from the very beginning, is right, what's clean and which one's cleaner. But that's something they're still doing. But thank you, Governor, for pushing back on it.
We're going to take a phone call. You ready?
Let's do it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assemblymember Tammy Wilson, and your name is?
Yeah, my name's Bill. Quick question. Do all borough property owners presently pay taxes for fire protection?
No.
Okay, well, then you were just making the argument a minute ago about the borough could put an ambulance or fire service out there.
No. Ambulance is not fire service.
Yeah, only ambulance. So everybody pays for an ambulance service. It's completely separate from fire service areas. It's just that the fire service area are the ones who take the contracts for the ambulance.
Oh, okay. Okay, I understand. I just didn't understand it. You know, as far as reporting and all that, I heard about this on the local news one night, and at first I was in favor of it because I thought that, okay, you have existing trails, they're going to be blocking them. That's what this issue is about. That was basically the way it was reported. However, I've been quite illuminated by what's been discussed today, and, you know, my personal position has changed 180 degrees, but it just goes back to the quality of local reporting that we have to endure.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
That is so true. I mean, that's
good morning.
The information
you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, you know, with the fire system, with the fire setup and stuff, I know a lot of people out of Two Rivers do not have homeowners insurance, so if the house burns, they're just out of luck.
Correct.
However, for the ones that do, your house insurance drops drastically if you do put a fire station out there. That's one thing.
So first of all, they have checked that out, and that is not true out there because it's also based on how far from the station you are and whether or not they have an ISO rating, which, you know, currently, you know, if they used a nonprofit, they wouldn't have one yet.
Right. It takes, you have to build it up. It doesn't.
Correct.
You have to, your response time, the amount of calls you get per year, the amount of volunteers you have, and your training all goes into the ISO, and they come out and they test it. I think it's every 10 years. I'm not sure. I haven't been involved in that in years. But it does take a while to set it up. And of course, mutual aid, all that comes in to play on that. However, the big thing is about it is, and the saddest thing about it is, the minute you have a house fire and somebody gets hurt, or God forbid, they pass away, then everybody goes, well, why didn't we have a fire department? And it's too late because the barn's already closed. You know, somebody's already been hurt. So that's the thing to think about. Yes, I know it costs money. We had a place out in Sulcha, and it burned to the ground when they were just doing the lottery thing out at Sulcha Fire and Rescue. And now, of course, we're going to sign up for our new cabin and stuff. But it's just really something to look for, you know, not look forward to, but look into, because it's such a dangerous thing. Yeah, nobody wants to pay more money in anything. I don't.
Okay. Rick, I got to say goodbye to you. I got one more phone call before we end the show. Thank you, sir. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Tammy Wilson, Assembly Member, and your name is?
This is Ginger McKee again.
Hello, Ginger McKee again.
And no, homeowners' insurances do not go down significantly at all if we have a fire department.
Right, and I think where the liability is that Rick is missing, too, is that we don't even know if a fire engine can get down all the roads
exactly.
into the 17-mile area,
exactly.
you know, as well.
Well, they can't get down the roads. The nearest fire hydrant to Two Rivers, Alaska, sits in Home Depot's parking lot. That's where our water source would have to come from. The ponds that are around there freeze solid through the winter, and you can't fill a fire truck up with a garden hose. Insurance will not go down with any significance. And we have checks towards ours and so many people. So that's one point I just wanted to make to your last caller, that it just doesn't happen that way.
Okay. Ginger, thank you very much for the phone call. You have a great week.
Thank you.
Yep. Interesting points.
Well,
very, very, very valid.
And I think today's show really is about, if you're not involved in your government, they're going to do things to you. And you don't want to find out after they've done it to you.
And also, get the right information out.
Absolutely. You don't sit back and just assume certain things are going to happen, because that's really a bad assumption.
And don't put in a service before you know the cost.
And any could go out and be able to look, because I will give this to our fire service areas, their chiefs. You know, they are happy to help to get that information.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, they do a great job. This is not anti-fire service.
Absolutely not.
No.
This is making sure that you know what you're getting paid for, and if you're paying in, that you're going to be able to get the service as well, and that everybody realizes what you already have and what this would actually buy.
One more phone call. Good afternoon. We got to make this quick. Your name is?
Yeah, Terry.
Okay.
Well, I'm from Valley Hot Springs, and we have a little volunteer fire department. We are out of the borough, and we just had our heat cut off from a grandfathered right from the generator station, so we had to drain our fire truck, and guess what? We don't have a fire department either.
Those things happen. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, it just, you can only do what you can with what you have, and being out there, I don't even know why you're in the borough. Just pick up a used fire truck and do the best you can. That's all we do.
There you go. Thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. And Assembly Member Wilson, thank you very much for being on the show. I think you were, like, demanding airtime.
I think I was, because people need to know.
Well, thank you for giving the relevant facts to the decisions made. And somehow these decisions might be poor that were made.
Well, with your involvement, those things can, you know, stop happening. But it takes you to be able to,
vote.
You know, well, it's voting and being involved in the right time and making sure that you're getting the right information out there as well.
True. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Greatly appreciate it. Assemblymember Wilson, you have a great day. And Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow, and you have a great day.